Well, hello there, beloved friends. It is that time again. It is episode 5, and today we have Lee Harris with us to discuss a conversation called Spiritual Warfare. Now, Lee is many things. He is an intuitive healer. He is a channeler. He is a singer-songwriter. Yay! He is an author. And he is the CEO of Lee Harris, his own company, his own industry. I first met Lee in Brighton in the UK, where we did yoga together. We hung out on the beach together. We went to Rennes Le Château together. And since then, this one has just shot to not even fame, he's shot to glory. And he is just continuing to rise and rise and rise, and so we should. And you can find him mostly in Malibu, but he travels worldwide. Haley, thank you so much for joining me here.
No, I'm thrilled to be here. And oh, the memories when you said about our, it's been what, 17 years ago, I think we first met and went through a lot together on our own path and like teaching together. And yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's crack on. I am going to read a little paragraph from the new book. So it's called Archons, The Forces of Anti-Awakening. The Archons are known as the rulers, servants, or influential powers of the dark agenda. According to the Gnostic Gospel of Philip, the Archons' main objective is to keep humans ignorant of their divine origins beyond the physical nature. They are the seven great influences that make up the seven deadly sins whose transgressions are fatal to our spiritual progress. So let me just say that again. Whose transgressions are fatal to our spiritual progress. So, I am a Gnostic at heart, and that word archon is a very old word. And that's why I've chosen you, Lee, to see if you can translate that into a language that we could understand today.
So first of all, the book's fantastic. Congratulations, which isn't a surprise coming from you, but it's beautiful. When you first brought this to me and you mentioned Archons, and Gnostic history is not my speciality, even though I have great admiration for it. For me, a couple of things hit me, and especially in hearing you reading that paragraph now. The first place my mind goes to is the awareness that I now have that I didn't have at the beginning of my spiritual awakening and spiritual search over 20 years ago, of just how asleep at the wheel our human world has designed us to be. To me, when I first woke up, I was like, wow, there's this whole other world and this is amazing. And then it was only years later, years later, that I started to see that the grid of the earth and the way that we were taught, schooled, raised, the social conditioning around, well, a man has a wife and a woman has a husband, and these are the roles, and the woman can have this much power and the man has this much power, and we're all agreeing with it, and this is what we're all agreeing to, and there was no cultural challenger to that. It was a personal challenge that you had to make when you yourself woke up and thought, well, hang on a second, why are there these divisions? Why is there separation between races, genders, people who live in different places who have less availability to the wealth of the world? How did it all get divided up? And I mean, it's only really in the last decade or so that I've been actively looking at those sources. How has it happened? As I myself continue my spiritual journey and act as a facilitator for those who are on theirs. So I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's when we first discover spirituality. I know for me, there was a romance phase with it where it was just, it was like, oh my God, there's this, what, this is incredible. There's this intuition. And suddenly things started to make sense to my body, to my senses, to my mind, things that I questioned or that I just never thought were true because no one was affirming them as true.
Mm.
And it was only when I was years into having those faculties back in my life that I was able to, through education, through movies like Thrive, through people who were writing articles, to start to go, oh, hang on a second. We were all designed to be asleep to this wisdom, this knowledge, and seeing the path that we were on as a planet and where that was going and how little regard that had for the earth, for humans, for sentient life, and knowing, oh, this is the awakening. This is what the transformation of consciousness is all about. I think in my early years, I thought the transformation of consciousness and this period of history that we're in looked a lot rosier and looked a lot more, wow, this is great, everyone's gonna wake up. And what I now realize is as the noose tightens in some of these areas, it is forcing certain people awake because the insanity of the way our world has been so far designed and run is beginning to be exposed. So that's where my mind goes first. Obviously, within each of us as individual, we have our own shadows, we have our own wounds, we have our own dark side that we're all trying to move. But that's what comes to me to respond to when you read that paragraph.
Would you say in your experience that there is an agenda that holds this world together? That consists of perhaps monarchy, banking systems, legal systems, that is sending out a transmission, an impulse, very subtle. But these influences are destined to interact with our own mind or joint mind to kind of coerce and shape and subtly guide the mind back into distracting, turbulent emotions.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that. And I also, one of the things as a channeler, so I've been channeling my spirit guides for over 20 years and publicly for 16 this year. And one of the things that they have also kind of talked about a lot is the very evident limitation of human life. And that part of the design of being human is the limitation and the shadow and the light. What they say is that those forces and those agendas cannot hold. They say they're trying really hard and they will succeed in certain ways. They're succeeding right now and they will continue to succeed in certain ways for the next decade or so. But they can't hold long term because they say the transformation of consciousness is uprooting everybody, including those who have really deep roots in the cultural influence. So I'm always curious about how that's going to play out. I agree with you. And I also try and hold a wider perspective around just the life of consciousness on this planet, because one of the things my guides say is that in terms of the whole universe right now, there is a consciousness shift that's very focused on this planet and how much we can elevate beyond the dark. I will also throw this in. What I also have to remind myself is because I've been I've listened to spirit for so long, there is also a part of me that realizes that beyond this physical form, there is not the same level of conflict and darkness. Mm-hmm. It's different, but it's not as entrenched and it's not as heavy. So I've also been able to use that for myself as a way of balancing and kind of coming back to oneness when I too get scared or triggered by some of the stuff that I see playing out on the planet, or when you feel the dark agendas getting up close and personal in your life, or because you see them doing something that you know is disrupting. It's very challenging being human right now, I think, because of that. And, you know, my guide said to me many years ago, it was something that really helped me, but I don't think it was just for me. I think this is true for so many of us. They said, part of your issue with being a human being is you tread a very awkward middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's one foot in the human world and there's one foot in the spirit world. And I think that's true for so many on the planet. And I do think it's a very strange place to find yourself. I think as you become more awake, you have the heartbreak and the very connected human grief that goes on when you're seeing and feeling and being affected by things. And then you also have the other part of you that goes, okay, well, there's something far bigger than me, far bigger than this day, this moment with this group. So yeah, that's what comes to me when you present that.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago, I was in a very long drawn out challenge and I would be out walking with Pete in the French Pyrenees, but I'm in the challenge. My mind is gridlocked and I can feel all of this stuff working on me. And I had, thankfully, a moment of consciousness when I realized, oh my God, this is Archon HQ. So I used my consciousness to turn back in as if it was a circle of people. And I went to the center and I put my fingers up in my imagination and just went, stop. I know who I am and I am connected to the truth of light. Now you guys, you gotta get out of here and leave my headspace alone. And I did see what looked like little black spiders just kind of reverse back into the darkness. They returned hours later. So I did the thing again, and I did it again, and I did it again. So I would like to ask you, let's just say we get into overwhelm. The darkness is coming and all sorts of weird and wonderful things are going through our minds. What would you suggest as something to draw ourselves back to the essence in the heart?
Something that really works for me and has worked for me for over a decade is a verbal affirmation. And it's, I release any energies and emotions that are not mine. I release any energies and emotions that are not mine. And I normally say that three times, and I will notice a whole shift down all the way through my center, but especially my root chakra. And I notice that moves and something opens and it's like my life force comes back and the seduction of my mind and all the energy being up here. And for me, it's to do with being enmeshed in the emotions of others. I had it very recently. We had a lot going on within some family relationships. And it really, you know, it really got me. And it wasn't not meant to. It was clearly my lesson. And it went on for several weeks. But I had to really work to de-enmesh myself. And I was saying that phrase over and over again, but also sometimes just moving. So if you feel like you really need to move it, for me, whenever the mind gets hooked in the way that you describe, it's like, okay, I need to bounce. I need to say this. I release any energies and emotions that I'm, you know, just what, for me, it's about, we can't negotiate our way out of a state that we are still thinking and speaking from. It's almost like you have to change completely. It's like, you know, if you've been in that for, you're going to have to do something dramatically different. Yeah. So if you can't, if that verbal command isn't enough, which it often won't be if you're very entrenched, it's running or going for a walk around the block or doing something that's the opposite to where you are in that moment. And sometimes resistance will come in. Oh, I don't want to do that now. do it for 1 minute, then you can come back. That's the negotiation point. You know, I learned that a long time ago around addictive or OCD patterns. It's like, yeah, you know, just negotiate by saying, if you just do go for a walk around your house, the block around your house for 5 minutes, then you can come back and sit down on the sofa and eat the donuts and cry and watch endless episodes of whatever. And the funny thing is you do the 5 minute thing and then you don't want to do that anymore. So
yeah. At the moment, I'm writing a book, a novel on this. I'm following the Pista Sophia, which is a Gnostic text. And of course, in this tradition, the Holy Sophia is the mother of the Archons. Well, she's the mother of the son who created the Archons. And so when I write novels, I have permission to say what I want, how I want, as I want. And so today I was on this chapter of the Holy Sophia revealing herself to the Archons. And I just obey whatever I hear. I just obey and I just type it out. And what I understood was the Archons, because they're born of the darkness, they do not have an evolutionary pulse, an evolutionary impulse. Things are static in their world. The way she saw them today is the way they were at the very beginning. And up until that point, they had never known light. By seeing, by beholding the Holy Sophia, they get given a choice to have the spirit of evolution. So now there's growth. They can change, they can transform, they can mutate. They have all the opportunities we do. And whether they choose or not is irrelevant. They have beheld the Holy Sophia. Light has fallen on their face. So now it's just a matter of time, not because light is going to overpower them and make them good, but because something has come into contact with something else. And I can hear, you know, the masses going, oh, that's so ridiculous. That's completely naive. And I want to say, really? Prove it. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's interesting. It's funny. It goes to me. I translate it as it's the same with people that you're trying to help, maybe. Mm-hmm. You have a friend who comes to you and they're deeply in pain about this issue that they've got, and you know, you try and help them, offer some light, offer a way that they could find a different light in it, and perhaps it looks like something moves for them, and then the next day they come back and it's exactly the same. At a certain point, and I think this has been one of the biggest lessons for me as someone you know, discovering my empathy and my connection to things, is at what point do you disconnect? At what point are you not the light bringer for that person? Mm. At what point do their, in your language, archons start to disrupt your energy field? Because they're imposing their energy in a stronger way on you. And that doesn't, you have a choice. You don't have to make that person wrong or run at them with sage sticks. It's actually really important sometimes to go, oh, this is not my battle. This is their battle that they're bringing to me that I think I've got to help them with or save them with. And actually we've tried one, two, and three things and there's no movement, which means I'm not the person or this isn't the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I can kind of translate that in a way from my perspective, because I know for myself, the energy of drama, emotional drama, which, you know, God, I feel like I was so caught up in, especially with intimate relationships through my 20s and early 30s to some degree. That to me is the archon energy that you're talking about. You know, when you get consumed by going round and round in circles on this disruptive conflict-based force that isn't really teaching you anything in the moment, but perhaps when you're out of it and you look back, and you go, huh, how did I get caught and how did I get sucked into that's when the teaching begins. It's like, what part of your psychology, emotions, personal history drew you in, made you think you had to stay there, made you get sticky with it? So that's kind of what comes to me when you say that. It makes me think of people who are carriers of that specific energy. Mm. And then the choice they're giving me to become that energy, mm. or walk away from that energy, which is a constant, especially now with how emotional the world mm. has become, and how triggered people are with varying levels of consciousness around those triggers. Like, some people can go, oh, I'm really triggered today by what I'm seeing in Australia.
Yes.
And someone else hasn't put it together that it was reading the article or seeing the images of Australia, but they just get into a panicky state and they're talking to you about something else and they don't quite know why they're in panic. Mm. And you're just trying to maybe help them with the panic or help them reset. So I think these are confusing times when it comes to interactions with other people, because everybody is more triggered. And to me, I'll use that word again, drama.
Mm.
You know, it can be a very judgmental word. I don't mean that in the judgmental way. I just mean drama to me is when you're spinning in emotions and it's kind of like it's spinning like this and it's not necessarily teaching anybody anything in the moment.
Mm, beautiful, Lee. I just want to ask one last really important question. Where do you turn to connect with comfort and goodness? That's my favorite word.
Comfort and goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I would say for me, I'm still learning about this. I feel like I'm in a real evolution around this right now. I feel like I'm finally admitting to myself that I turn to introversion and seclusion,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. And that maybe for a long time I thought that wasn't okay, but actually I'm realizing that I modulate my nervous system best, yeah. when I give it downtime. And yet I'm very guilty of being somebody who thought that he could run for 6 weeks at a time and then wondered why I would crash in all kinds of ways afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, comfort and goodness is introversion and seclusion. And it's the really simple things. It's talking to my husband, Stephen.
Yeah.
It's being with my cats. If I'm really off balance, it might be sugar or wine, but I'm kind of on that one. You know, I'm kind of like, I know that those, but it's rare that happens now, and it never feels quite as good as it may have done like 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah.
I think that's the note I just want to end on for those dropping in with us. Archons, thought forms, vampires, all of this stuff, I believe in my heart, really goes for the nervous system. Mm. So when you feel yourself under that influence, head for, remember these words, comfort and goodness. And like you, you're a cat person, we're dog people.
Right.
Dogs are gods. They just got the word round the wrong way.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And yeah. And I will also throw in water, actually, for me is huge. Okay. If I can get my body in water. And the Z's said to me years ago, it resets the electrical energy field. So they said even, you know, a minute under a shower. But for me, being in a body of water is like my happy place.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to say goodbye.
No.
But I must, because your day is just beginning.
Yeah. And yours is coming to a close there in France.
It certainly is. I'm going to get in bed with the gods.
Very good. Very good. Beautiful to see you.
You too, Lee.
Yeah.
Thank you. See you real soon.